being to order of the Carson City Planning Commission this 24th of June 2015 at the Community Center Sierra Room, Carson City, Nevada. Mr. Marr, can you take the roll, please?
Chairperson Wendell.
Here.
Vice Chair Eswine.
Here.
Commissioner Castro. Commissioner Green.
Here.
Commissioner Owens.
Here.
Commissioner Salerno.
Here.
Commissioner Sattler.
Here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you, Mr. Marr. Mr. Eswine, lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the commission meeting. For your information, the public is invited at this time to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Planning Commission, including any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item. Would any member of the public like to step forward and address this issue? Let it be noted on the record, Mr. Marr, that no one's indicated any desire to approach the podium at this time. It's my understanding that the minutes for May 27th are still in limbo. Okay, thank you. Mr. Plimmel, is there any modification of the agenda?
No recommended modifications, Mr. Chair.
All right, sir, thank you. Would any member of the commission wish to explain any contact with an applicant or the public regarding an item on the agenda or business of the commission?
I do.
Mr. Marr, would let it be noted that no commission member wishes to discuss any of them this time. Public hearing matters. F-1, SUP-15-046. To consider a request for a special use permit from Cliff Sorensen, property owner Richard Campani, for a five-year review of an existing storage container on property zoned retail commercial, RC, located at 2590 South Carson Street, APN 009-051-10. Mr. Plimmel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you read into the record, for the record, Lee Plimmel, Community Development Director. As you've read into the record with the agenda title, this is a special use permit for a storage container to continue to be located at the subject property, which is the Carson City Toyota location. Per the Carson City Municipal Code, metal storage containers are permitted in commercial zones for more than 90 days, only with approval of a special use permit. It's also a condition that special use permit has to be reviewed every 5 years by the Planning Commission. This special use permit was originally approved in 2010. This is the date of the five-year review, and so it's being brought before you for your approval to continue the use for another 5 years per the recommended conditions of approval. I think we all know where the property is located, generally on South Carson Street. On the screen there, that's the vicinity with Carson Street running north and south through there. Kind of zooming in on the property, this shows within the property where the storage container is located, kind of on the north side of the property there as labeled. And just going through just a couple of close-up pictures of what this is from various sides on the site, so that's up close, but kind of backing out and putting it into context of the property again. The container again is identified on the property, which is on the north boundary of the property. Staff mailed out notices to adjacent property owners in conformance with city and state requirements for noticing of this item. And as of the writing of the staff report and as of this meeting, we've received no comments from the public regarding this item. Staff is recommending approval subject to the conditions of approval in the staff report, which would include approval for another 5 years.
Thank you, Mr. Plimmel.
Can
Mr. Sorensen is in the audience and applicants available for questions as well.
Okay, Mr. Sorensen, would you like to step forward? Please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Cliff Sorensen. I work with Richard Campani.
All right, sir. Thank you. Did you hear the testimony or the provided by Mr. Flemmel regarding this application?
Absolutely, I did.
What would you like to add to that, sir?
The storage container, most people don't even know it exists because it is well hidden. We've planted mature landscaping 3/4 of the way around it, if you will. And then plus, of course, own the property 3/4 of the way around it. The only thing that we wouldn't own would be Wells Fargo. And it backs up to their garbage and lunch area, so it's and screened by trees. So it's really difficult from the public to see, and it's used for our storage of our landscape supplies and things that we don't want to house inside our Toyota building. We keep out there, and makes it real nice, especially when the landscapers come on. They can go right into the building, get their items they need. They don't need a key or any kind of access into our dealership. They can do it at their own leisure and do it on a weekend when we're not there, or whatever they need.
Thank you, Mr. Sorensen. Thank you. And are you familiar with the special conditions that are a part of this application? And
I am. I am. I initially was the one I applied for the container, and so I've pretty much it's been my child, if you will, since its inception.
And do you agree with those conditions, sir?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Thank you. You bet. Would any commission ever have any desire to ask any questions of Mr. Sorensen? Thank you, Mr. Sorensen. I'd like to invite any member of the public that would like to come forward and provide any testimony regarding this application. There will be no such indication on the public to address this issue. We'll bring it back to the commission for discussion, comments, or a motion.
I'm ready to make a motion.
Go ahead, Mr. Sadler.
I move to approve SUP-15-046, a special use permit request from Carson City Toyota for a 5-year review of an existing storage container in the retail commercial zoning district located at 2590 South Carson Street, APN 009-051-10, based on the findings and subject to the conditions of approval contained in the staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Sellers. We have a motion for approval. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
A second by Mr. Paul Eswin. All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any nays? Motion carried unanimously. Thank you. Next item on the agenda. F-2AB-15-050, action to make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors regarding an application for an abandonment of public right-of-way from Victor Hohen, property owner MAP Enterprises Incorporated, BP Hotel LLC, and M&M BIC Investments LLC to abandon a 66-foot wide and 170-foot long right-of-way on East Sophia Street between Carson Street and Plaza Street, on property adjacent to 1017 North Carson Street, 1000 North Plaza Street, 917 North Carson Street, APN 002-162-01-02 and 002-163-04. Mr. Flippel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to go over, you have the staff report attached. Again, I should note that this staff report was prepared by Assistant Planner Kathy Green, and I'll be given a presentation regarding this. So with an abandonment of right-of-way is an abandonment of a city public street to the adjacent property owner. So that's kind of a general. That's what this is. And in particular, these properties are located. It's where the current AMPM ARCO station is on the corner of William Street and North Carson Street, and the property adjacent to that, and then the Hardman House Hotel is to the south. The graphic up there shows how Sophia Street connects between North Carson Street and Plaza Street. The proposal is to abandon that Sophia Street right-of-way between those two And by state law, what happens is each property owner gets half of the right-of-way, so their properties get larger to the middle of the existing right-of-way. The applicant has submitted the application with the intent of developing the property. And in your report, there's some discussion about the requirements for abandonments as well. One of the things that's specific to this area is that it's located within the downtown mixed-use district, which does have some specific standards for maximum block size for abandonments. And with the downtown mixed use, the intent is to allow for abandonments that combine two blocks. We do have relatively small blocks that are relatively close together for street intersections within the downtown area. So there have been cases where blocks are combined in order to provide more development area, yet it is important, and part of the policy is to still provide for appropriate circulation and street circulation within there. Danny Rotter from the engineering division is here from Public Works and can talk a little bit more about circulation and if particularly you have questions about that. But specifically for this, it is encouraged in the downtown to keep blocks, but also it allows abandonment of two blocks together like this. And Sophia in particular is relatively close to William Street, where there's a signal and traffic backs up there. So, and again, I'm going into a little bit of traffic engineering here, but if you have questions regarding the movements, perhaps Danny can explain that better about how traffic at William Street backs up, makes movements difficult at Sophia and Carson Street because of that light signal there. And therefore, engineering is supporting the abandonment and staff supports the abandonment. Also, there are some, in your staff report, there's some specific considerations that you need to consider when looking at abandonments that have to do with whether or not will the public be materially injured. There's also some things in there about reasonable consideration if the street was dedicated. This street was not purchased by the city, therefore the street, if abandoned, goes back to the property owner without consideration. They don't have to pay for it because the city never paid for it. Let's see, I'm going through just to show some photos. I think, again, probably you're very familiar with this area. It's kind of in the center of town. This is just a photo showing the street segment looking west from Plaza Street towards Carson Street down the subject area for right-of-way abandonment. And then finally, I'll leave it on this for any discussion. This kind of gives an overall view. For anybody trying to orient to where this is, here's the Hardman House, and here's the Sophia Street portion that's proposed to be abandoned. This is looking back to the south, so it's a little bit different orientation. William Street here, Carson Street, and Washington Street. So I'll leave it on that. So if you have any questions on kind of the context of this abandonment, we could talk about it here. Staff is recommending approval, and we're available for questions if you have any. I'll note that the applicant, Mr. Honine, who owns the Arco store and is the applicant, is in the audience, and he's will be available as well.
All right, sir. Thank you. At this time, are there any questions of Mr. Rotter or Mr. Plemmel? Mr. Sadler.
Ann Street is currently one way and will remain so?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And does the same person own all the parcels?
No, so going back to, let's see, probably do it right here. So the property lines are a little bit difficult to see. They're black and don't show up very well, but there are three separate owners. There's a parcel here on which the gas station sits. There's the box store here. Right. That's a separate parcel. And then there's a Hardman House, so there's three separate ownerships.
And yet they plan to develop that as a group, or?
We don't have the plans exactly how they would plan to develop it, but they would each get their applicable portion of the abandoned property.
Thank you. Just wanted to clarify that.
Are there any other questions of any commission members?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I'm wondering who removes the curbs and sidewalks and the street pavement? Is that the city or is that the property owners?
So you're talking about actually on Sophia Street in between the two roads, correct?
Yeah, I'm just wondering who does the actual removal of the street and the curbs and sidewalks?
Any of that work would be done by the applicant.
By the applicant?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
If they want to use the property, they do it at that point in time. And in the meanwhile, what happens with just not a dedicated street anymore, it just stays there? Is that what happens?
Correct.
Yeah.
And I think what Lee kind of alluded to is that the abandonment is, I don't know if any of the conditions specifically state the future development, but it's kind of a little bit implied there that that's the reason they're doing it.
Okay. What about taxes? Is the property then taxed?
It becomes part of their parcel. So,
it
yes,
becomes
right
part
now
of their parcel
and
their taxes are adjusted accordingly?
Correct.
Thank you.
And I'll just point out that there are water and sewer lines in there. One of the conditions of approval is a 20-foot easement. We mentioned this to them when they came in for an application, and there's not a whole lot of building space to be put there because of those water and sewer lines and other utilities, power lines and stuff. And they're aware of that, but they're going to be putting together a plan with that in mind.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Rotter. Are there any other questions of Mr. Plamel or Mr. Rotter?
Do they have the option of moving those if they needed more space or?
They didn't imply that they would, but anywhere that they did move those would require the 20-foot PUE.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, again, are there any other questions of Mr. Plimmel or Mr. Rotter? Okay, we'll call the applicant forward, please. Would you please identify yourself for the record, sir?
Victor Honine, owner of the Arco MPM. And I have also another owner of the Harmon House with me. The third owner of the property that owned box store couldn't make it because they had an emergency.
Okay. Were you present and here? And did you hear the testimony provided by Mr. Plamel regarding this application, sir?
Yes.
Do you agree with everything he said?
Yes, I do.
Are you familiar with the conditions of approval?
Yes.
Do you agree with those?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank
Would you like to add anything further to the testimony provided by Mr. Plamel?
I would like to mention that they're not going to be use the section of the property as building or something. We have easement there, but we would like basically to improve the property, to beautify it in order to make it a prime retail location there. So because it's part of a new downtown, and as you know, not many prime retail location exists there. I mean, you have a third of the property owned by the state, and it's minimal, but we're going, and my section is I'm going to build at that corner a little drive-through eatery reminiscent of the old Penguin, if somebody is familiar with the Penguin. Yes, but I mean with a little more specific fare, and hopefully we'll develop more small eateries around the place to make it kind of like a food court. Thank you.
All right, sir. Are there any questions by the commission of this gentleman? All right. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Would the gentleman, the owner of the Hartman House, like to come forward and provide any testimony? All right. I would like to ask you a question if you want to come forward. Seeing how you're part of this package, did you hear the testimony provided by Mr. Plamel?
Yes, sir.
Did you agree with it, sir?
Yes, sir.
Are you familiar with the conditions of approval?
Yes, sir.
Do you agree with those?
Yes.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you, gentlemen. I'd now like to offer any member of the public to come forward and provide any testimony regarding this application. Please identify yourself for the record, ma'am.
My name is Jean Perpich. I'm a business specialist from Wells Fargo.
All right, ma'am.
Okay. And I just wanted to state my support for moving forward on this adjustment to the street. I think it will be a great adjustment for the downtown corridor.
Well, thank
and
you
I've
very
seen
much.
The plans. That's it.
Thank you for your input, ma'am. Is there anyone else from the public that would like to come forward and provide any testimony? All right, we'll bring it back to the commission. Let it be noted on the record that no other member of the public wishes to provide any testimony. Back to the commission. Any comments or discussion? Or motion? Okay, Mr. Esselman.
I move to recommend that the Board of Supervisors approve an abandonment of public right-of-way application AB-15-050 for abandonment of East Sophia Street, an area 66-foot wide by 170-foot long, totaling 11,212 square feet, more or less, located between Carson Street and Plaza Street, adjacent to properties located at 1017 North Carson Street, 1000 North Plaza Street, and 917 North Carson Street, APN 002-162-01-02 and 002-163-04, based on 7 findings and subject to the conditions of approval contained in the staff report.
We have a motion for approval by Mr. Paul Eswin. Do we have a second? We have a second by Ms. Green. All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any nays? Motion carried unanimously. Thank you. Next item on the agenda. SUP-15-052. To consider request for a special use permit from Tahoe Hydroponics Company, property owner Arrowhead Partners, LLC, to allow a medical marijuana cultivation facility on property zone General Industrial, GI, located at 3535 Arrowhead Drive, APN 005-053-04. Mr. Plimmel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And again, I'll note that Assistant Planner Kathy Green prepared the staff report that you have in front of you. You have the information. I'll be giving a brief overview for you and the public on this item. This is a special use permit for...
Mr. Plummel, could you speak just a little bit louder or closer to the mic?
Closer, yeah.
Thank you, sir.
This is a special use permit for medical marijuana cultivation facility to be located on Arrowhead Drive. Up on the display there is the vicinity map showing where this particular facility is proposed to be located. I will note, and I can come back to this map, but this is one, there's a small area of general industrial that's in here. This doesn't show the zoning map, but there's a small area of general industrial. Medical marijuana cultivation and production facilities are limited to the general industrial zoning district and only in certain areas. So this is one of those limited areas where they are permitted. And I have another map showing where some other facilities are, but I would note while I'm on this map that two properties to the north of this one is a location where you've had a prior approval for a special use permit for another cultivation facility. Those are the two facilities within this map portion of the map area that would be shown on this map here. Secondly, I would note that this special use permit, this is not yet another cultivation facility. It is, the applicant is one that you've approved previously at a different location. So if you recall, a special use permit for the cultivation facility on Old Hot Springs Road next to the Hot Springs facility. This applicant has withdrawn from that location. They will not be located there, and they wish to locate at this location, and they're going through the process to get the city approval, and they'll go to the state, too, to get a transfer of their state license to this new location. And as I zoom in, and this is the property. It's an existing building that they'll go in, and I have some photos going around it. There'll be no proposed modifications. Let me go around the pictures on this. Again, this is an existing building. They'll be occupying approximately half of this existing industrial building. They're not proposing exterior modifications, so the site would stay the same on the exterior. Improvements would be interior, kind of going around with just a couple more pictures here. Let me stay on this one for, well, I'll go to this one. So just to back up a little bit, I know we've had a number of these special use permits coming to the Planning Commission. The map that's up there actually is a map showing all the special use permits for the various types of MMEs that have been approved by the Planning Commission and that also have their state approval. So there's actually, we had some, one or two that had come forward early before the state process that did not get state licenses, but this represents what has been approved by the Planning Commission and has state approval, with the exception of this one here. As noted, this is the one that's under consideration now that used to be located over there. They're proposing to locate it here. And in the bigger picture of looking at all of those applicants that receive state licenses, I believe there's only one more production facility in Carson City that has state approval that has not come before the city, and it's on, I don't know that they will, but of this map, this represents all of the applicants that have received state approval except for one. And the other one is a production facility that on Highway 50 East, and again, don't know if they'll come forward. So just a little bit of background, we have a couple, I know as a few of you have been through all of these special use permits and are very familiar with this, but for those who haven't and who are just tuning in now, of course, this history is in the staff report. The state legislature in 2013 enacted the Medical Marijuana Act that allowed for medical marijuana in Nevada. In those provisions was an opt-out provision or opt-in provision, depending on how you want to look at it, for individual counties and cities to decide whether or not to enact the medical marijuana standards to allow it within those jurisdictions. Through a pretty extensive public process, we had multiple meetings, as, again, Planning Commission that have been here are aware. We went back and forth between the Planning Commission and Board, which, in the short story, resulted in us adopting the regulations and the development standards that allow the certain types of facilities within certain zoning areas, within certain specific areas within Carson City, and subject to the conditions and standards in the development standards. So that's kind of the history of the regulations for medical marijuana in Carson City. That's the brief history of that. The applicant for this facility proposing to locate in this building is located in the General Industrial Zoning District. Again, in your staff report, it goes through all of the different standards for medical marijuana cultivation facilities. Of course, many of the standards apply only to dispensaries in those, but again, the short version of all the information that's in the staff report is that the proposed location meets the requirements for medical marijuana cultivation facility by the zoning standards, and staff is recommending approval of the facility subject to the 40 conditions of approval that are in the staff report. I do want to talk a little bit. We've sent out notices. I'm looking for the public notice comment portion of it. Here we go. We sent out notices to 31 adjacent property owners within about 1,100 feet of the subject property. as of the writing of the staff report, one letter in opposition to the proposed project has been received and is included in your packet. We've received no late information regarding this item in addition to that. And I guess I'll conclude my presentation with that and be available to answer questions.
Thank you, Mr. Plamel. Do any commission members have any questions? Mr. Sadler.
Lee, it shows that a full build-out at some point of this building would be all for this facility. If that doesn't occur, is there any rules or anything about the building sharing? I mean, could another tenant come in and use part of that building, or?
I believe so. There's nothing in city code would prevent another use from sharing the property.
Or state code.
I know we've approved a dispensary that shares space in a building, in like a strip mall type building with other, subject to meeting applicable building codes and separation requirements for the use and the specific use that it is, type, which would include the types of materials they're using and or chemicals or things that would be.
Because in this situation, that one, there'd be walls between, but in this situation, it's the two floors, correct?
Maybe the applicant could describe better how that would be set up.
Are there any other questions of Mr. Plamel, other commission members? Okay. We'll call the applicant forward, and would you please identify yourself for the record, sir?
For the record, Mr. Chair, members of the commission, Chris Baker, Manhart Consulting, here on behalf of the applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. You heard the testimony of Mr. Plamel regarding this application?
I did.
And did you had an opportunity to read the application regarding the conditions of approval?
We have, yes.
And do you agree with those in its entirety?
We do, yes.
All right, sir. Thank you. Would you like to provide any further testimony in addition to what Mr. Plamel has addressed?
Yeah, I think I would. Again, thank you, Lee, for the overview. I think you did a great job of kind of, you know, again, like Lee said, this isn't the first one of these you've seen as a board. You know, I would like to explain why the original SUP at 1588 Old Hot Springs Road was pulled. If you recall, it was approved by this board, well, not this board in its entirety, but most of the members of this board a few months ago. If you recall at the hearing, there was some kind of gray area as far as location criteria. Although it met the general industrial criteria per Carson City, it met the spacing criteria per state of Nevada, there was a little bit of gray area there. And in all transparency, they were running a very, very similar facility to this. It was going to be a new constructed building. And, you know, they wanted to be a good neighbor. They didn't want to go somewhere where they were not wanted. And not only that, they didn't want to go somewhere where there was a gray area of whether or not they fit there. So they chose, I think, a very mature decision to pull the special use permit after its approval and look for a new, more appropriate location. So that's why we're back in front of you today. And again, when you're looking at these things, what your politics are and what your opinions are, I think that was already decided at the state level. Really, we're here for location criteria, and from that perspective, this site does fit significantly better than the previous one. It is surrounded by general industrial pretty much all around. There is already an approved site just north of this. You know, it's an existing building, so there's going to be no construction disturbance of any sort. The building, like Mr. Satter said, it actually has two tenant spots there. It's one floor. The entire building is approximately 46,000 square feet. This would be one half of it. The other half is actually occupied by the building's owner. So when you're talking about two floors or whatever, there is portions of the building that are two floors, but that is just existing office space that is kind of an accessory to the primary warehousing or manufacturing uses. So as far as a shared tenant, that tenant's already there, and that tenant actually in this situation owns the entire building, you know, and is welcoming them with open arms. Again, complies with the criteria as far as ventilation. You know, I know that's been a hot button a few times of these, and then security is obviously the big one. You know, the state and Carson City both have some strict requirements as far as that. They've demonstrated that they were willing to meet that criteria at their previous location and have carried those requirements over to this location. There was a letter of opposition in the staff report. I did reach out to that gentleman earlier today. I did my best to kind of address any of his concerns. I don't know if he's here in the audience or not, but you know, we had a great candid conversation. I thank him for his time if he is here, and I'm available for any other questions.
Mr. Sadler, you have a question?
I just would, I remember from the other application, and I just would like to comment. It was a, I know the Hot Springs probably appreciates what's been done, because there was some concern about that, and I appreciate what the people are doing.
Yeah, you know, code's black and white, but we live in a gray world, and just because you meet the requirement doesn't mean you meet the intent. So I think they did a wise decision to pull that.
Okay, excuse me, just a moment. Mr. Esselin.
Yes, Mr. Baker. The submission had floor plans for two floors. You have a first floor plan which has growing or growing facilities, and a second floor that has growing facilities.
Correct. What those are, they're pods. So they are stacked pods. You know, as far as existing on site now, it is a one floor building except for that associated office. And again, what we've done with this, it honestly, my recommendation is, in a perfect world, if this industry takes off in this community or this part of the country, come in for your special use permit at full build out, assuming perfect circumstances. That's what you see here. If you do look through the exhibits, you'll notice that what they're actually proposing to build initially is four of these 26 rooms, which is more of the operation that you're really going to see. So.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions, Mr. Baker? Yes, sir.
Yes. Regarding security, I've noticed that there's a lot of windows, at least on the one side of the building.
Your microphone, sir.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There's a lot of windows on one side of the building. There's some higher up, and there's some pretty much at ground level. It would seem like it would be awfully easy for somebody who wanted to get their hands on marijuana to break a window and go in. I realize there's a security company that it will be hired, but I just wonder about that. I mean, it seems like if this building is appropriate, shouldn't it be constructed in such a way that somebody can't readily get in?
Honestly, that's a good question. You know, I think the level of the security measures required by state are one, dedicated ingress, egress, motion sensors, lighting, you know, all these other on-site security, you know, a security, full-time security staff in close proximity. As far as breaking a window to get into the facility, I honestly don't know why that couldn't occur, but just like that couldn't occur across the street at the building that probably has materials that are, you know, as hot of a commodity, I'm sure. I mean, break-ins are anywhere. What I can say is this facility is going to be the most secure facility in the neighborhood. I don't know if because of what's inside it would make it more of a target. I don't know. I don't know that I have an answer for you on that one. It's something that could be potentially addressed at a final design stage to see what the condition of the windows are, you know, whether or not what the thickness of the glass is. I know the windows are tinted, so as far as from a street view or a parking lot view, you're not going to be able to see through those to see what's in. They're kind of one way in or one way out. I think from a structural perspective, we can obviously look at those windows and seeing if, you know, adding some sort of treatment or what have you to you know, make them less obvious as an entry point could be looked at.
It would seem it's a pretty hot commodity that's inside the building for those who would like to get their hands on marijuana. And we have a police department, our sheriff's department, that has a big load on their hands right now with that sort of thing. Would be perhaps even more. What about putting bars on the windows on the outside to keep that from happening? And I realize that even with the bars, they can use a plasma cutter and go right through the metal doors.
Mm-hmm.
that's very easily done today with what's out there with very small tools. I'm just afraid that we could have a problem with security.
And I think that is something at the final design stage that could be explored. And I think what we'd be looking at is maybe interior bars. I don't think we'd want to. The building's a very nice building now. I don't know that we want to put some bars on the windows. To me, bars on the window says, hey, there's something important in there. Remember, with this, there's going to be no signage. It's going to be a very unassuming building. You'd have to do your research to know what's in there. As far as coming to a plasma cutter and doing all these other things, at that point, you're going to have on-site security there within minutes. But I think it's something to absolutely explore is, you know, what material those windows are, you know, how easily they break, and if they need to be modified from maybe an interior perspective to make sure that does not happen.
Yes, it seems that the building is... It seems that the building is occupied 10 or 12 hours a day, and the whole evening, late at night, well into the morning, there's nobody there.
Again, there is 24-hour surveillance cameras, motion sensing, video cameras with a security force on staff very nearby, if not on site. So, again, I'm not discounting these concerns, and I think that is something that absolutely needs to be explored at final design stage to determine, you know, how easy those windows would be to get into, and then modifying them as necessary to make sure that can't happen easily.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions, Mr. Baker? Mr. Owens.
Because you brought it up, exactly what is very nearby for the security?
You know what? I don't know as far as a close proximity. They have a state law requirement that they have to meet, and the response time is, you know, I don't know off the top of my head if it's 3 minutes or something. I can look into that and maybe have an answer for you by the end of the meeting.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions, Mr. Baker? I have one question, Mr. Baker. What kind of windows are on the exterior? Are they those that they can open? Are they
No. No, they're decorative. They're completely tinted, and they're just for, you know, looking out. And most of them, if you notice, most of them are on the second floor for the offices. There are some on the first floor. I don't think there's something of a quality that could be broken easily, but I think the commissioner brings up a great point, and it's something that we should probably look at.
For the benefit of the general public, though, the windows are non-opening.
No, they are non-opening, yes.
Okay.
Yes, they are non-opening.
I appreciate that clarification.
Sure.
Thank you. Any other questions, Mr. Baker? Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Would anyone from the general public have a desire to come forward and provide any testimony regarding this application? Let it be noted on the record, there's no indication from the general public to provide any testimony regarding this matter. We'll bring it back to the commission for discussion, comments, or motion. Mr. Sadler, you have a motion?
Yes, I move to approve SUP-15-052, a special use permit request from Tahoe Hydroponics, LLC, property owners Arrowhead Partners, LLC, to allow a medical marijuana cultivation facility on property zoned General Industrial, located at 3535 Arrowhead Drive, APN 005-053-04, based on the findings and subject to the conditions of approval contained in the staff report.
We have a motion for approval by Mr. Sadler. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have 2 seconds, one from Ms. Green and one by Mr. Paul Eswim.
Comments now, sir?
Go ahead, comments.
Yes, I have a comment to make. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it because I want to get it just right. I've given an oath to uphold the laws of the city, state, and the federal government as a part of being appointed to this commission. It's my understanding that federal laws do not permit the use of either medical or recreational marijuana. And it's also a violation of my belief and conscience because of the past 50 years, I've seen the devastation the use of marijuana has caused to so many young people using both medical or recreational marijuana.
As a volunteer to the Carson City Sheriff's Department, I'm concerned the additional load to the sheriff's office may require additional assets and personnel at a cost far in excess of the additional taxes collected. Therefore, I must respectfully vote no on this matter.
Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second for approval for this particular application. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Nays?
Aye.
No.
Wait, we have three for approval? Four for approval.
4-2.
4-2. Two nays. Motion passed.
Just again, Chris Baker for the record.
Yes, Mr. Baker.
One point of clarification. The windows actually do not have access to the secure growing facility. Those actually only access the first and second floors of the office facility. The grow facility will have an interior secure, will be an interior secure facility. So even if you did break in and get into the windows, you could not get into the grow facility.
Thank you.
Thank you for the clarification, Mr. Pitcher.
And Commissioner Owens, I will absolutely get back to you on that as far as the response time.
Okay, next item on the agenda. Item G, staff reports. Mr. Plimble.
Thank you. Just a couple items I'd like to cover. It was earlier this week. It was only 2 days ago. We had two workshops, one at 12:30, one at 5:30 for the downtown design. I know some of you were there where Danny and the Public Works and the consultants rolled out the draft 30% design for the Carson Street project. That went well, got some good feedback, got pretty good attendance here. We're happy with that. Those, and just for your information, or those who couldn't make it, and for the public generally, the plans, the video, as well as some graphics are available at carsonproud.com. And, in fact, the video is right on the front page to click on that and see it. And we'll be taking it to the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee on and the Regional Transportation Commission in July before taking it to the Board of Supervisors at their second meeting in July. On other matters that have been before the Planning Commission in the past that have gone to the Board of Supervisors on June 18th at the Board of Supervisors, the Canyon Vista subdivision, that was the 18-unit subdivision that had an accompanying variance in the single-family one-acre zoning district, was approved by the board by a vote of 5-0. There was, again, a lot of discussion and concern from property owners surrounding that, but that was approved. And then finally, I wanted to point out under this item that I had a little bit of discussion with the chairman before this. And your bylaws state that you elect a new chairman in July. We'd recently amended those bylaws to make it in July so that when new planning commissioners were appointed after their terms are up in June, we get to have a new commission, everybody's in place, you know who's on the commission, and you make the vote then. So we have two commissioners that are up whose terms expire this June. It's Mr. Eswine and Mr. Wendell. They're up in June. They're aware of that. And the city managers, the executive offices have advertised, offered for them to reapply and advertise for new members. Unfortunately, they're not going to be able to interview before a Board of Supervisors meeting in August. So they will serve until replaced. They'll serve in July. I've already told them, please plan on attending in July. And then, so I think in discussing that, what we'll do is postpone the elections of the chair for another month until we know who's sitting on the commission. So unless anybody has real problem with that, that's how we'll do it on the agenda. So that kind of ties me into what's on the next agenda then. We will have a five-year review of a special use permit. So it's actually the second five-year review of Cinder Lights special use permit for expansion of their aggregate, I forget the term that's used, but anyway, you know, their digging a hole aggregate extraction operations. That's what I was looking for. And we also have a special use permit for a conditional use equipment rental in the general commercial zoning district at the former S&W location on South Carson Street. Another user is going to go in there. So those are the two items that we have scheduled for the next Planning Commission agenda. And that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blemmel. Are there any comments or reports from any of the commission members?
Just to clarify, Lee, they won't be able to have till the August meeting for the supervisors before they can handle that?
It won't be before August that they interview for new planning commissioners.
Because that was the whole reason we did this, right. So it makes sense to delay it. Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments or reports from any commission members? There being no indication as such, I will look forward to a motion. Public comment. Thank you. Would any member of the public wish to come forward and provide any testimony before we close? There's an indication from one member of the public indicating no testimony, no interest in providing any testimony. Okay, we'll bring it back to the commission for a motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Mr. Sauter. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Esselin. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Are there any nays? Motion carried unanimously.
You served a full term, or did you fill in some?
I filled for a year and a half, and then I served a full term.
Yeah, I don't have
Yes.